All right, we're going to go back a little ways and watch a film clip from the animated movie The Incredibles. How many of you have seen The Incredibles at some point? Yeah, okay. Good stuff. All right, take a look at family dinner time at the Parr House. So talk to me. What is dinner time like at their house? Chaos, okay. Pick a character. Who do you want to talk about? Let's talk about Violet. Is Violet happy to be at the dinner table? No. What's going on with Violet? She is not normal, and she wants to fit in, doesn't fit in. Yeah, and she has an annoying younger brother, right? Yes. All right, pick another character. Jack-Jack, what's going on with him? I don't know. He's like the entertainment, right? Yeah. The mom is like totally engaged in the baby, not paying attention. Yeah. Okay. All right. Somebody else. Dash. Talk to me about Dash. He got in trouble at school. Does he want to talk about that? No, he doesn't. What does he enjoy doing? Yes, he's an instigator, right? Causing trouble, making fun of his sister, and they get into a big crazy fight, right? How fun would it be if you had superpowers to get in a fight with your brothers and sisters with superpowers? That would be pretty awesome, right? Yeah, so he runs super fast around the table, slaps her in the head a whole bunch of times, and then she puts up her force field, knocks him down, and then mom has to go, like, super stretch and tie them all up, right? So let's talk about mom. How's mom doing? Mom is frustrated with pretty much everybody at the table except the baby, right? But she's kind of holding the family together a little bit, right? Yes, quite literally. And she's trying to pursue people, right? She's asking how their day went. She's trying to, I guess, engage people. Let's talk about the dad, Mr. Incredible. What's his deal? He doesn't care. He's kind of checked out. He's really not paying attention, is he? He's distracted. He misses the old days. He's reading the newspaper. He's leaving the table. Not super engaged, right? Is there anyone in the clip that you can relate to? All right, raise your hand if you fight with your brothers and sisters. Raise your hand if your mom and dad ever get on your nerves. Okay? Totally, right? Totally. Well, I think it's funny to watch other families not get along. Not so much when it's your family. All right, so I want to read to you a little quote from this book here. This is a study that was done. It says, James Dobson often refers to the research of an anthropologist, J.D. Unwin, who spent 7 years studying the 80th greatest civilizations in the world. Okay, 80 great civilizations in the world, their rise and their fall. And this includes things like the Roman Empire. He finds a very interesting thing that of all these societies began with a strong emphasis on family. Some related to a spiritual foundation, some for other reasons. Do you know how they all fell? When they did this big, giant study of all these civilizations, here's what they found. They didn't fall from communism or nuclear attack or terrorism or any other outward threat like we so often fear. It says they all fell from within, from a breakdown of family and morality. Interestingly, these two areas have declined rapidly in our own culture, wouldn't you say? That in recent decades, we've had a decline of family and morality. His research, along with others, shows how these two are inseparable in any society. And because of this, where one is strong, the other will be strong. Where one is weak, the other will be weak. So you could say this, as a long-term effect, that as the family goes, so goes the nation. It's interesting that it becomes the nucleus of any successful civilization. Isn't that interesting? I would not have said that. If you're like, hey, why did this empire fall? Why did this people group, lose power? In my mind, I'm thinking it wouldn't be because of family or because of values. But as they did this giant study, they found that to be true. All right, so I wanted to share with you a study we did in our own youth group. I asked students to fill out this short questionnaire a while back. And then we also gave one to parents. And I got feedback from parents from the youth group about how the parenting and how their kids were doing and things that they wanted. So I want to ask you this. Here are four questions, the teen survey. What things do your parents do well? Just give me a few shout-outs, and then I'll share some of the results with you. What do you think? What are a few things that you think your parents do well? Keep us on time, okay? What else? Help you study for stuff, okay? Helping you keep up with school? Taxi service. They drive you places, take you places, okay? They feed you, sure. I missed one over here. What did somebody say earlier? Accountability, okay? All right, anything else? Things that your parents do well? supporting you. Okay. Lead. They lead you well. Okay, good. Last one. All right, so they might give you some guidelines to follow with the intention, hopefully, of helping you have a better life, right? All right, here is what some of your friends said when we did the survey. Things that your parents do well. Loving me, feeding me, caring for me, protecting me, keeping me safe, teaching me about God, being understanding, providing a home or shelter. They have jobs. Praying for me, encouraging my faith, being godly, disciplining me. I can't believe somebody said that. Wow. Giving privileges, explaining their motives, supporting me. Somebody said nothing. Teaching respect, helping me learn from my mistakes, giving advice, helping me keep on track with my homework and listening. So some of those are duplicates, but some of them are like, yeah. All right, so here's the next question. What things do your parents need to do better? We're just being honest here. What do you think? Calm down, okay? Explain their reasoning more. A little more leeway, a little bit more freedom, maybe. Give you a little more space, okay? Not always in your business. I heard somebody say one over here. Less lectures, okay? Sure. All right, you want to hear what some of your friends said? Things that their parents could do better, be more understanding, be more trusting, be less strict, nothing. Apparently that person just likes to say that. More freedom. Some of you guys already said that, right? More freedom. Trust me to make my own decisions. Give me more responsibility. Stop asking so many questions. Disciplining too quickly and too harshly. Give me my phone. Give me a phone. Set fewer limits on telephone, TV, computer, and bedtime. Listen better. Calm down. Somebody said that. Calm down. Don't overreact. Right? I think that was kind of the idea. Holding back anger, being on time, and get off my back. A little honesty there, right? Okay, so number three, what do you want most from your mom and dad? That's kind of a big question. Just give me a few, and I'll share with you some of the other results. What do you want? Love. That's pretty common, yeah. Support, sure. Trust. Guidance. Those are all really good. All right, here's what some of your friends said. What do you want most from mom and dad? Freedom, trust, understanding, respect, possessions, like a car, a computer, a phone. They want money and an allowance. Love, financial support for college, camps, and activities. Safety, compassion, reasons and explanations, and to have no restrictions on money. Like, they want their family to be able to afford more, I guess. I don't think it was trying to be mean, but yeah. They're like, man, we got nothing. Yeah. All right, here's the last one. What's the hardest thing about being a teenage son or daughter? It's kind of a deeper one. Maybe you'll show that in your life group later, but if you want, give me a little feedback. What do you think's tough about being a teenager in your house? There's a lot of commitments, a lot going on, okay? Time management. Hard to live under all the expectations. A lot of expectations, yeah. Busy, being super busy makes it hard. Getting up early is brutal, right? Okay. All right, let me share with you some of your friends said this. Hardest thing about being a son or daughter, opening up about life and sharing with your parents. School and improving your grades is hard. Peer pressure. Not being allowed to do anything. Too many rules. Being treated like a kid. Having a hard time finding a job. Getting in trouble for small things. Siblings. The hardest thing. Unfair complaints and criticism. Parents who are still learning how to parent. That's interesting. Understanding where parents are coming from. Being lectured a lot. Somebody said that earlier. Big responsibilities or having a lot of pressure or expectations. The pressure of being looked up to by younger siblings. Parents who don't understand. Having an early curfew. Not getting what you want. Not driving. And no one really understands how you feel. All right, can you relate to any of those? All right, I know you know, a whole bunch of them, right? You guys, here's my hope, all right? We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about how you guys can be a better part of that and some of the things that really bug you and maybe how we can make those go better. So here we go. Why are relationships at home so difficult? I want you to add one right here. The reason why relationships are so difficult is, number one, people are sinful. Now, why would I sneak that one in there first? How does that affect everything else? We're selfish, yeah. So if everybody in the family is selfish, then what happens? It'll fall apart. Why? Everyone's thinking about themselves. Nobody's willing to give or be flexible or help anybody else, right? Everybody's got their own private agenda, and none of them are compatible, right? So our selfishness, our sinfulness gets in the way of family life. I want you to understand that first. your sin, your parents' sin, your siblings' sin all gets in the way of you guys having great family relationships, right? So here's the flip side. You want to have more unity in your family? What would it look like if people sinned less? Well, you can't control anyone else, right? But you can control you. So what could you do to sin less in that family environment, you know? Maybe you cuss less or swear less or lie less. Or are you with me? You stop doing some of that and being, you know, more truthful, more helpful, more caring, right? All right, here's the next one. That Satan hates your home. That might sound like a kind of a quick slap in the face. Why are we going there all of a sudden? Well, we're looking at things that oppose your family. The first one is sin, and the second one is the author of sin, which is the devil, okay? So we got this idea, why are relationships at home so hard? Well, you've actually got a spiritual enemy to your family. That's kind of crazy, right? Here's what your book says. It says Satan's top priorities are to hinder your walk with God and to destroy your relationships with your family. In John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can mess up your home life, it affects everything else. I'll be honest. When things at home are jacked up, doesn't it make it hard to do the rest? Makes it hard to like focus on school stuff. Makes it hard to do sports and job and work and other relationships if you don't feel like stuff at home is going well. It can really bleed out and affect all the other things in your life, right? So when things are bad at home, life is bad, period. Remember who the real enemy is. I'm just going to give you a quick fill-in. That's Ephesians 6. Remembering that that there's an enemy out there. So the encouragement is to put on the armor of God and protect your heart and mind and know that your parents aren't necessarily the enemy. Your real struggle is not against your family. It might feel like it initially, and maybe they can be super annoying, but the real battle is the spiritual one that you might not see. So here are some other obstacles to family life. You know every weakness about each other. Raise your hand if you know how to push the buttons of somebody else in your family. You know how to really get on their nerves and really bug them. Some of you don't even know that you know, but you do. And it's really easy to get on each other's nerves when you know everybody's weaknesses, right? You get on each other's nerves. That's the fill-in there. For every positive statement made at home, there are like 10 negative ones often, okay? The pain is more severe. Why is that true? When your family hurts you, why does that hurt more than just a stranger? They're the closest to you. Yeah. So at the same time, their love can feel super awesome, but their pain can also be super painful. It's just amplified because they're the closest to you, right? All right, it can seem like a love-hate relationship, right? There might be days you're like, man, I totally love my family. They're awesome. And there might be days you're like, man, I hate my family. I want to move out. It might be a little hot and cold for you like that. Here's a weird sentence that says, familiarity produces neglect. What does that mean? What's it mean to be familiar with something? You know it super well. And then, so finish then it produces neglect. What does that mean? Well, you know them so well that you kind of take it for granted, right? You kind of take your parents for granted over time. You don't really thank them for the food that they keep providing. You don't really thank them for the rides that they keep giving. You don't really thank them for the help with your homework anymore. Like you start, are you with me? Over time, it just becomes normal. And so it's so familiar that you lose gratitude, that you lose appreciation, that you just take them for granted perhaps. Or you don't work at it. Or you know they love you and that you love them, but you never say it anymore. You know, that over time, you stop doing the little stuff that actually matters, right? Or maybe this another obstacle could be the generation gap, that your parents just don't get it, right? In any and every generation, I'm sure there's been teenagers who felt like their parents just didn't get it. And you know what? You're probably right. There's probably some aspect of teenage life that's going on in your life that they just don't quite grab or understand or appreciate. That's valid. But it doesn't mean that they don't care for you and that you can't work to have better communication. And then the last one, what's another obstacle? Was because you know you can get away with stuff, right? There are things that you know you can get away with, and so you do them. And over time, that can wear on family dynamics, right? All right, so let's take a look. What does the Bible have to say about some of this stuff, right? Here's an interesting quote. Somebody read Matthew 10:21. Who wants that?
Brother will betray brother, and children will rebel against their parents. Matthew 10:21.
Wow, that's a bit of encouraging news, isn't it? But check this out. This is Jesus talking. You know what? He's no stranger to know how family dynamics work, right? He gets it. He knows, right? In the end, you know, brothers are going to get on each other's nerves and betray each other. Children are going to rebel against their parents. It's part of what happens. Is that a good thing? No, it's not. But it does help us a little bit to understand, you know what? God isn't oblivious to your family problems, okay, and to the nature of people. All right, this next one, I want you to kind of cross out those words at the top because I think it is a little bit overstated. Your relationship with your parents is very important. I'm not sure that it's important over everything else, but it is very important. All right, you guys have probably heard this verse, but you may not like it much. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Do you guys know what the promise is? It's in your book, and it's up on the screen. The promise is this, what? Live well and have a long life, yeah. That God didn't design family relationships and parents' desires for their kids to be, like, super difficult and overbearing and for no reason. A lot of times, parents have guidelines and rules that help kids survive, especially when they're young, right? Hey, like, don't go in the street. Don't play in the street. Don't touch the hot stove. Like, having some boundaries, like, your parents probably saved your life more than once when you were little, okay? And maybe a few times even as a teenager. Who knows? But in the end, as your parents walk with God to follow their guidelines, as if they don't conflict with the Bible, then you need to follow them. Does that make sense? So if your parents are like, hey, don't worship Jesus and follow him, God gives you permission not to obey your parents on something like that, okay? If your parents encourage you to lie and cuss and cheat and steal, which I doubt, you have God's permission to not follow that, okay? But here's the thing. If it doesn't conflict with the Bible, you need to do what mom and dad are asking, you know, be a part of your family and obey them even though you may not agree. And we'll talk a little bit later about how you can communicate in a way that's respectful. Here's what honor means: to obey, to appreciate, to value, to be true to love and respect their authority is the fill-in, and to build a genuine relationship with them, right? Proverbs 1 says, listen to your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Some good advice. All right, so we're going to pause for a little humor. Anybody like mama jokes? All right, well, here's some funny quotes from generic moms, okay, just moms in general. I don't know if your mom would say something like this, but here's some funny lines. Mom taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, go outside. I just finished cleaning. Mom taught me religion. You better pray that that will come out of the carpet. Mom taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I will knock you into next week. My mom taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. Because that's logical. My mom taught me irony. Keep laughing, and I'll give you something to cry about. What? Okay. Mom taught me the circle of life. Sounds like the Lion King. That's it. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That's it. The circle of life. What happened to you? My mom took me out. All right, you might have heard the quote that if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. I think it might be a little overstated. I think if there's a grumpy person in the house, let's say it's mom, then it's probably not going to go well for you. But if it's dad, I'm going to say that's probably going to be difficult too. And if it's you, then the rest of the family better watch out. Usually, somebody's negativity wears off on the rest of the family, right? Often we disobey our parents. Usually something goes wrong, right? Oftentimes. And the consequences can be brutal sometimes. Yeah, all right, here's some fill-ins for you. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's Proverbs 20. And conflict is inevitable. Now, you're going to have a chance to write down some things in your book. What are things that you argue about in your home? That's kind of the answer. So I'm just going to give you like 30 seconds to vent a little bit. What are some common things that you often argue about in your home? Okay, I want to hear just a couple of them. Just give me a couple of them. Things, everything. We argue about everything. Argue about the rules or their rules. Yes. You're always right. That's what you argue about. They think you're not always right. And you say, I am. All right, give me a few more. What do you argue about in your house? You argue about college. I'll argue about future stuff. Okay. The front seat of the car. Who gets to ride shotgun, right? Friends? Argue about friends. Who your friends are, how much time you're hanging with them, whether you can be with them or not. You argue about food. Is there not enough in the house? There's never enough food. Okay. Last one. What grades? Argue about grades. Yeah, for sure. How about money? You guys ever argue about money? Who's paying for what? All right, can I tell you an interesting argument we had in our house? I was trying to put my youngest son, Dre, to bed, and he didn't want to go to bed. So I got mad. Well, then he got mad. Well, then his getting more mad made me more mad that he didn't want to get ready for bed. I'm like, dude, just brush your teeth. Put your PJs on. Ah! And so that's one of my buttons that he just goes, doot, 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 doot. He's going to walk up the stairs. As he's staring at the TV, I'm like, so then I got to chase him, right? Oh, my gosh. So we're going round and round and round. I'm getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And then Devin asked me a question from the living room. I'm like, what? No, you can't. Whatever. No. Like, I'm just kidding. Like, it was a bad time for him to ask. And it may have been something. I don't even remember what it was. Do you remember what it was? I don't remember what it was. And he said something in passing like, well, Dad, it would help if you were in a better mood. And then as I turn the corner to go to the kitchen, my wife's like, he's not wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it, right? So I don't know if that happens in your home. Devin, I'm sorry I responded poorly to you. Does that ever happen in your house that somebody's attitude just like ruffles everybody's feathers and all of a sudden everybody's like, argh. Yes, no? Does that ever happen? Here's the question. And the convicting moment for me was, oh, wait, I'm the problem. Are you ever the problem? Do you ever instigate and start stuff or delay or disobey or not engage or not communicate? I'm going to say, yeah, probably, right? All right, so how do we have better family life, okay? All right, I know you guys are laughing and pointing fingers. All right, come back to me. How can we have a better family life? Here's part of it. Here's how you need to engage in family life, okay? Here's the first one. You need to communicate. And communication's a two-way thing, right? It involves talking and listening, both on your part and the other person's part, right? No communication equals no relationship. So if you're not willing to talk and work things out and communicate, you're probably not going to have good connections, good relationships, right? Let's see. The enemy, the devil, will try to addict you to a million other things like the Xbox, video games, Facebook, TV, texting, being gone with friends or obsessed with a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever to keep you from communicating well with your family, right? Here's the fill-in is conflict. Don't avoid communication because you fear conflict. All right, so let me tell you another story about a communication breakdown. You ever have communication breakdowns in your family? Like you thought you told mom and dad something and they're like, no, you didn't. Ever had that happen? Or they're like, hey, I told you this. And you're like, there's no way they said that. Or I don't remember them saying that. And you end up getting in trouble for stuff you didn't know you were responsible for. Perhaps. All right. So I was dating Tina at the time, high school. We're out on a date. We're out late at night. And I lose track of time, and I miss curfew, okay? I come home late, probably like an hour late, okay? Parents didn't know where I was. They were worried about me. I didn't communicate. I show up late. They stayed up because they didn't go to bed, wondering where I was. I get home, and I'm busted. They're mad, and I'm in trouble for not communicating, right? So I get grounded, and I think I was only allowed to drive to school. Like, I wasn't allowed to drive anywhere. I wasn't allowed to hang with my friends for a certain amount of time. I forget how much time. But here's the thing. Have you ever broken the rules and had consequences? Yeah? Was it for this, for lack of communicating? If I would have said, you know, hey, I'm going to be late, or hey, this is where I am, or hey, I'm safe, but I'm still going to be late. Like, my punishment might have been less, or I might not have been grounded at all, but I didn't communicate at all and just thought I'd try to get away with it, right? I'll be honest. Have you ever tried to just get away with something? Okay, yeah. Communication's huge, you guys. The better you get at it, even just sending, I mean, I didn't even have, you know, we didn't have cell phones and texting and all that back in the day, whatever. So, I mean, if you can communicate with your parents, let them know that you're okay. Let them know where you are. I think it'll go a long way. How many of you have, like, crazy busy schedules? Okay? Schedules right now are a big deal in families. Like, keeping track of the family calendar feels like a full-time job, right? And trying to get everybody's band thing and sports thing and work thing and get to this thing early and show up to this thing and stay after this thing and stay late to this thing and help with this thing. Over time, it can get crazy. So do your family a favor. If you got a calendar of events for your activity that you're in, you know, communicate that. How many of you, you know what? I give out stuff to you guys. You know how many parents are like, hey, where's our thing? Or when is it? Or what is it? I'm like, well, we gave out flyers for it. You know, like, oh, those never came home. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're crumbled up in a ball under the folding chairs because you didn't take them home. Okay? Like, help your parents out. Help your family out. Help communicate a little bit. You provoke your response. So if you come at your parents angry, you're probably going to get an angry response. If you come at them gently and humbly, you might get a more calm response, right? All right, the first person to humble themselves and admit fault will likely produce a gentle response from the other person. And then Jesus said, for others to treat you as you treat them. All right, here's some other tips for helping family dynamics. One, if you're having a conflict, maybe you need to cool down. Maybe if you're tired or if you're not feeling well, postpone the discussion for later, right? Ever get in a fight because you're too tired and just being dumb? See the other side of the deal. Sometimes you have to agree to disagree. Maybe you're not going to agree with your parents about your curfew. Maybe you're not going to agree about privileges. But maybe you can understand one another. You have to choose your battles. Don't fight about everything, okay? Don't pick a fight about every single thing. Figure out the things that are really valuable to you, and then maybe you go to bat for those ones a little bit harder and more respectful. Just don't make everything a battle. Learn from it. The struggle is there for a reason. Now, I want to give you an example of that the struggle being there for a reason. We're going to skip to the bottom. I got a story about a butterfly. Did you know when you see an insect struggling to get out of its cocoon, that if you get some tiny scissors and attempt to snip the cocoon open, that the butterfly will never be able to fly? Like, you tried to help it out, right? But you're actually crippling it. Here's the reason. The struggle is there for a purpose. You see, it is during that struggle, as they fight to get out of the cocoon, that the fluid is forced into the wings to develop the muscles and to enable the butterfly to fly. Is that interesting? Sometimes we try to avoid the conflict, but sometimes the conflict helps develop the character, right? Well, maybe you didn't know that, but I didn't know that about butterflies. I thought that was interesting. Sometimes the struggle is there for a reason, you know? All right, so I wanted to give you some quick tips on how you could get more independence and freedom. Would you like that? Would you like more independence and freedom? Here are some quick tips, okay? This is not in your book. Well, one, you got to check your desires. Is your desire a healthy one or an unhealthy one? Okay, if it's a healthy one, they're probably going to get some more freedom about that. If it's an unhealthy one, probably not. For example, let's say you want to go do drugs. Hey, Mom and Dad, can I go smoke a joint down the, you know, nobody's going to ask that, right? But for example, let's say it's something else. Maybe it's you really want to buy something that's important to you. So you develop a plan to save up money for it. Okay, that would be a healthy desire. Or maybe you really want to get the thing, but you don't want to wait and you want it now and you ask Mom and Dad for the money and you want to get it now. They may not give you the freedom for that. So desires, are they good or bad? Motives, is your motive good or is your motive bad? Okay, if it's a good motive, you might get some freedom about it. If it's a bad motive, perhaps not. Is your attitude good or bad? Okay, that's kind of self-explanatory. Is your communication been clear about it or has it been poor? What is your approach? Do you come at your mom and dad with an attitude or do you come at them with some respect? So respect versus disrespect. Decisions. How are you with your obedience? Do you follow through with the things mom and dad ask, or are you prone to disobey? The more you obey, the more freedom they're going to want to give you, and the more you disobey, the tighter that grip is going to be. Choices. Are your choices over the course of time? What is your track record? Okay. Do you make good choices that are wise generally, or do you make foolish ones more often than not? And then ownership. Do you own the things that when it's your fault that you know, say you're sorry, or are you taking responsibility to get your work done or to be at places on time? Or are you irresponsible and forget about your schedule and lean on them to bail you out all the time, right? And then the last one is trust. Do you do things that help build up trust or do you do things that help break it down? So if you add all those things up, right, if you're doing more of the stuff on the left side, healthy, good, clear, respect, obedience, wise, responsible, building up trust, you're going to earn and get more freedom, right? Your parents are going to respond with more freedom. So you want that phone, you want that driver's license, you want that curfew to be an hour longer, you want to be able to go to that event without them being there, you want to go out with that person. Are you with me? They might be more prone. And then if you're doing the stuff on the right side, if you're making, you know, you got the unhealthy, bad, poor, disrespectful, disobedient, foolish, irresponsible, and you're breaking down trust, they're going to clamp down on that control and you're not going to have the freedom you want. So in the end, you've got independence on the one side and some dependence under on the other side. All right. Maybe those weren't the tips you're looking for, but if you guys grab this, you're going to feel like you've got some more privileges and more freedom in your life, right? You want your curfew to be longer? Show up early when your curfew's due. And then show them that you can be responsible on, with the small stuff, and maybe they'll give you some privileges with the bigger stuff, right? All right, here's the next part. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. That's Hebrews 12. Tough words, but good words. All right, here, you are responsible for your part. So you get to write down some complaints in your book, okay? There's a little bit of space for you to whine if you want. All right, so write down the major things you would like to change about your parents or your brothers and sisters, okay? This is not just like, I hate my family. That's not constructive. It's more like, I wish my parents would, I wish my siblings would, or I wish they would not. All right, so here's the next question. What can you do to change your family? And the answer is honor God. You guys, you might not feel like you can have an impact, but you can. Your behavior, your attitude, your perspective, your effort, the things that you contribute to your family can help change other people in your family and change the dynamic. If you're prone to just being a drama person, like maybe you dial that back a bit and not freak out about everything, okay? Or maybe you're late to everything. Maybe you make an extra effort to be on time. Maybe you're just super untidy and you're always making a mess. Maybe you start cleaning up after yourself. Maybe you get outside of your own head and you think about, hey, how could I help dad with this? Or how could I help my brother or sister with this? How could I help my mom with dishes or laundry or what, you know, whatever it might be? Maybe you could go beyond what's just your normal stuff and actually start to help people in a new way, right? Remember the song we just sang, Speak Life, right? What I know is more about speaking life to the people in the world, but you know what? It starts at home. What would it look like for you this week to speak life to your mom and dad, to your brother and sister, to speak words of encouragement into their life, to find something that they do well and compliment it instead of just being a nitpicker or whatever? Yeah, so look for ways you might be able to do that. All right, here's the interesting, the 90-10 principle. The other person may be 90% at fault, but you are responsible for your 10%, even your 1%. So go ahead, be the first person to apologize. Maybe you didn't start the fight. Maybe you didn't start the issue. Maybe you're mostly right and they're mostly wrong. But be the bigger person and maybe apologize first. Think of growing up as a teenager is preparing for adulthood, you know? So what kind of person do you want to be? They also say this, so the kind of spouse you want to be, what kind of person you want to be in a marriage relationship might be related to how a boy treats his mom and how a girl treats her dad might reflect how they might treat their future spouse. I mean, think about that for a minute. Man, if you're always ditching your mom or always dissing your dad and just whatever, are you going to act like that later when you're an adult in a marriage relationship? I hope not. All right, so here's the challenge, that one person can make a difference, and that's you, that you can make a difference. The bottom one says, actions speak louder than words, especially at home. What you're doing speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. All right, let me close with this. There's some samples. I'm not going to read the samples of letters in your workbook. Some of them are compliment letters, like say, hey, mom and dad, thanks for this. Some of them are apology letters, like, hey, mom and dad, I'm sorry for this. Some of them are to families who might be divorced. But there's some examples there. I would encourage you to do this. Sometime this week, think of, hey, is there something I need to apologize for? Is there something I need to ask forgiveness for from a brother or sister, from a mom or dad? Is there a way you could go out of your way to give a gift to somebody in your family? Maybe it's something small, you know? Like the other day, Devin brought me a Kit Kat. That was cool, man. Thanks for Kit Kat. You know? It's a friendly thing to do, right? Like, share something that is one of your favorites with a brother or sister, you know? Maybe you open a pack of Skittles or something and you share. I don't, you know what I mean? Just do small stuff to not be a jerk and to be friendly and to help family relationships go better. You know, blow your mom and dad away and give them a thank you note this week. And be specific. Say, Dad, thanks for cheering me on at my sporting event. Or Mom, thanks for driving me to 7 different places this week and for giving me lunch money. You know, just like something small. They'll be floored. They'll be like, what? Who are you? You're like a new person. What's going on? Learn to be like super grateful and do some acts of kindness for your family. That's kind of the challenge. And at the bottom, 3 hardest things to say. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And please forgive me. And then you've got a chance to write down, hey, what do you want to do about it this week or this month? Give yourself a goal. Like, hey, I'm going to write a note to my mom. Or I'm going to get a gift for my brother. Or I'm going to say some nice words to my dad. Or I'm going to help wash the car. Or I'm going to do the dishes without being asked. Or, you know, fill in the blank. Just figure out how could you contribute in a small way this week or even this month. Say, all right, every week this month, I'm going to pick a different family member. And I'm going to try to encourage everybody in my family by the end of October. Are you with me? It might take you 2 months. Okay, but you get the idea, right? Target some family members that you could show some love to, right? All right, can you pray with me and we'll jump to life group. God, you designed families. You made up the whole idea. You designed how a mom and dad and kids all work, and you've made it good, and you have designed it in an awesome way, but sometimes we screw it up. God, some of our families are messed up, and a lot of it has to do with sin in our life and selfishness in our family's life. And some of it is our fault. So, God, would you forgive us right now? God, forgive me for the part I play in making my family difficult. And, God, this week and this month, would you help me be a better family member? Would you help me to love my family well? Would you help me to communicate well? And would you help me to forgive often? God, we ask for your help. Would you bless our families this week in Jesus' name? Amen.